Good afternoon. We are continuing our study of The Master Speaks. We're looking at Chapter 14, Christ Consciousness. And Joel begins with, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." In the human picture, we have to earn our good. We have to be worthy of it. We have to be deserving of it. We have to work for it and work hard for it. In the human world, we are constantly making a physical or mental effort to bring about some good in our experience. And yet the promise is, "My peace I give." But this promised peace does not come through the use of physical or mental effort. Nor does it come from those things that the world can give, such as money, position, or place. In our healing work, we do not use the physical means. But there are many students of metaphysics today who still use a great deal of mental effort. In the infinite way, however, we are learning to rise above the need for even mental work in healing, to the point where healing comes by grace as that Christ peace. For example, if I were asked for help and then immediately began to think thoughts and know the truth or make declarations of truth, that would be mental effort. Of course, knowing the truth is our foundation, our beginning in this work. We do know the truth. We remember what we have learned about treatment, beginning with God, and following through to the realization of God. True, that was a mental effort, but that correct letter of truth forms the foundation of our work, because without it, our healing work might be the result of blind faith. There are many times when a blind faith might not prove strong enough to withstand the suggestions of the world. If, however, you know the truth of being, you know that God is individual life, and that therefore the life of the individual is just as permanent as the life which is God. You know that the divine mind, or God, is the mind of the individual, and therefore there can be no mental aberration or lapse from intelligence. You know that God, the divine soul, is also the soul of the individual. And you know, too, that there can be no sin. Sin cannot exist as a reality. It cannot exist as an inherent or enduring part of individual being. When you really know that your supply is not to be found out in the world, in coins or dollar bills, but that your supply is your own consciousness, God, your own consciousness appearing to you in visible form, then you have the practical knowledge of truth, which is the basis of healing. Yes, if you understand all of that, then you have the foundation. That's where you start. When you have imbibed the letter of truth, or the knowledge of truth, and when you have that fixed firmly within you as a basis, you come to a place in consciousness where you no longer think or require thoughts to bring about your demonstration. Your daily experience becomes yours through grace, through the Christ peace. That state of peace is brought about not by something you do or something you think, but by something that the Christ is, something that the Christ does. Let us remember this. There is something called the Christ. The Christ is not just a name given to some intangible or nebulous thing. The Christ is a divine reality. It's a living presence, and it is omnipresence. It is right where you are and right where I am. Christ is not a person. Christ is a principle. Christ is a principle of life. It's a principle of God which forms the reality of your being. That was the first time I had seen that. Christ is not a man. Christ is not a nebulous thing. Christ is a principle. But because of the prodigal son experience, we understand what physical might is. We understand what mental might is. We know what it is to work hard ourselves. But we have not yet learned how to stand still and let Christ work. We have become, in belief, separated from the very Christ of our own being. Stand still and let the Christ work. It's much the same as if we lived in a house with the blinds drawn and had become accustomed to walking around in darkness, semi-darkness, or in a room artificially lighted. As time passed, we actually forgot that there was such a thing as sunshine, and that outside our drawn shades was the bright, warm sun. In our humanhood, we have done just that. We have had the blinds drawn, our mental blinds. This is what Jesus meant when he said, "Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not." Those spiritual faculties have been closed, so that we are not aware of the fact that just beyond the range of our humanhood, there is the divinity of our being called Christ, the Spirit of God in man. So we have to step aside and let the Spirit of God function through us. Step by step in our study, in our practice, and in our association with others, we develop an awareness of this infinite invisible power or presence called the Christ. We find that there is an actual presence with us which performs our work for us. It performs through us. It performs as us. That was what made it possible for Paul to say, "I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me." Remember that he performeth that which is given me to do. He perfecteth that which concerneth me. Or as the psalmist says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." This is the Christ. And that Christ is the principle or Spirit of God present in you, as, let us say, your integrity, your loyalty, your fidelity, your trustworthiness. Those are qualities that you recognize to be present in you. and you recognize them, not because you have ever seen or heard them, but because of their effect in your experience. Your honesty and your integrity have won for you the respect of your business associates. Your loyalty and your fidelity have made of you good citizens, good husbands, good wives, good children. Those are the effects of the qualities of integrity, loyalty, fidelity, honesty, and trustworthiness. But there is something even greater than any of these, something greater than all of them put together, and that is the conscious awareness, the conscious recognition of this Christ, which can and will create these qualities in us, even if and when they seem to be lacking. The Christ in us is our divine intelligence, our spiritual wisdom. This is not human wisdom. Human wisdom can make mistakes. Human wisdom can be misled. Our human wisdom is often based on past experience or common sense. But the Christ, the spiritual intuition, the spiritual wisdom, guidance, and power, never makes a mistake, and it causes us to do things that humanly we may not think wise, or that humanly we might not even think of doing. We may not even know what step we should take, but this Christ, opening up our consciousness, takes the step for us even before we are aware of the need. Christ is a reality. Christ is that upon which you can depend. You can turn your ear and listen to it, and through it find your inspiration, your guidance, your direction. Christ is a healing consciousness, and when we are called upon for healing of ourselves or of others, if we had touched the Christ, there is no longer any need to rely on statements of truth or on any activity. This thing called the Savior, the saving principle, the healing presence or the healing Christ, it takes over, it restores, it renews, it reconstructs, it builds. Christ is a reality. Christ is not merely a name, a term for some intangible thing. No. Christ is as tangible in your experience as anything you can see or touch. It is as real as a personal teacher or a book, only more so. If we all could know the reality, the omnipresence and omnipotence of the Christ, we would understand why all reliance can be placed upon it, and how it goes before us to do all that is necessary for us to do. But the Christ is even more than that. It is a unifying influence. Christ is the cement, the unifying influence that brings us together in understanding. Christ is an invisible thread binding us together, but not only us. It binds all men and women together throughout the world, regardless of their race, their religion, their creed, or their clime. All those who are intent on seeing the kingdom of God made manifest on earth are held together with us through this thread of the Christ. This next section is the availability of the Christ. You may remember that before the days of metaphysical healing, you might have thought it necessary to consult a doctor in person in order to have your health restored. Now, through your study of truth, you have learned that you can remain at home, or take a trip to Europe, Africa, or Asia. And through your practitioner, who may be in an entirely different part of the world, you can experience a healing. To you, there is nothing mysterious about that, but to a doctor or a non-metaphysician, it is the deepest mystery in the world that a person can sit in a room in one end of town and through his work heal somebody in the other end of town. It is no mystery to you because you have been taught the first principle of truth, which is that we are not separate minds. We are not even separate bodies. There's only one mind, and there is only one body, and that is the body of Christ. There is only one mind. There is only one body. There is only one Son of God. And I, the eye of you, am that. Even though it appears infinitely as your body and my body, it is still the one body, and that body is Christ. There is only one mind, the instrument of God, appearing individually and infinitely as your mind and my mind, but it is one and the same mind. Therefore, it does not make any difference whether you ask me for help or ask somebody in New York or Cape Town. You are calling on the one mind, which is the mind of your own being. This much most of us understand. But did you ever realize that that is only one facet of the omnipresence of the Christ? In the past, many of us have been taught to believe that it is necessary to be present physically in order to receive a spiritual teaching. But today, in the light of our greater unfoldment, we know that not only can you ask for help at a distance and receive it, but by raising yourself higher in consciousness, you can even be taught spiritually while you are sitting in your own home or while on a trip to Europe. Why not? It is not your body that is being taught. It is not your brain that is receiving truth. It is your consciousness. And you have already learned that your consciousness is not in your body. You have already learned that you exist as consciousness. You exist as that one mind, and that mind is not confined to your body. But this great truth has more than an abstract value. You have found it practical in the healing work. So practical that many of you during your travels have at times wired or telephoned to your practitioner for help and have received it. Now you are going to find that whenever and wherever you open your consciousness to truth, you will find it there with you. You can be on a train, on a sinking ship, or a falling airplane. But if you open your consciousness to truth, you will find it there. Christ is the thread that exists between what appears as an infinite number of men and women. If the Christ, truth, is in any one spot in the world, then it is wherever you are. That invisible thread, that invisible omnipresence, makes truth available to you. This explains how some of the great healings, I mean great spiritual healings, have taken place in cases where those healed were not students of truth. Some person reached out, prayed to his concept of God with a great longing, a great intensity, a great faith, or a great need. It may not have been faith, it may not have been hope, it may not have been even religious feeling. It may have been something like, "Oh God, help me." Something like that could have brought help. In that opening of consciousness, the Christ registered. Where was that Christ? It was right there. Right where you are and right where I am, the Christ is. Today, the leading scientists of the world recognize that time and space are not realities. The very spot that I am occupying, you are occupying. You cannot be localized in time or space because you are mind. You are life eternal. You are spirit. You are soul. It is only as long as you think of yourself as the body you see in the mirror and think that that body is you, that you might think of yourself as being separate from others. But when you stop and use the word I, you certainly know that I is ego or consciousness. Consciousness is omnipresent, and therefore, the I that I am, which is the I that you are, is omnipresent. It is wherever you are, and it is there in its fullness. Never forget this. There's not a little bit or part of God here. God, the infinity of intelligence, of love, of life, is expressed in all. Is expressed in all its perfection. Right where I am and right where you are, since we are the one same consciousness. And so open your consciousness at any time, in any place, and under any circumstance, and see if truth is not right where you are, ready to impart itself to you. Once you have had the experience of that type of enlightenment, you will then know that wherever consciousness is, and it does not make any difference where in time and space it may seem to be, that is where this truth is available. All those who are on this path, all those who are opening their consciousness to this truth, have the whole of truth available to them right now. Throughout the world, at this very second, there are people who are opening their consciousness to spiritual power, that they may play some part in world peace or in universal prosperity and harmony. As they open their consciousness to this truth, it is flowing into them. That does not mean that we are sending it to them. It means that we are receiving it at this moment from the same source from which they are receiving it, and that source is the Christ. When you begin to understand the impersonal Christ, you will understand the thread, the invisible thread that binds us together. Not only all of us, but all men bent on this spiritual path. If you should feel the need of some truth for the healing of yourself or someone else, it is not necessary to go through any mental processes of thought. Just open your consciousness to the light, to truth, to grace, to the peace that passeth understanding, to the Christ peace. And as you learn to do that, the illness will be dispelled, and the healing will come. whether it is yours or someone else's. This is a good place to take a break and have a little meditation. Let's do that now. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Throughout the world at this very second, there are people who are opening their consciousness to spiritual power. As they open their consciousness to the truth, it's flowing into them. That does not mean that we are sending it to them. It means that we are receiving it at this moment from the same source. If you should feel the need of some truth for the healing of yourself or someone else, it's not necessary to go through a mental process. Just open consciousness to the light, to truth, to grace, to the peace that passeth understanding, to the Christ peace. As you learn to do that, the illness will be dispelled and healing will come, whether it is yours or someone else's. You may do the same thing for supply. Do not sit down and think of supply. Do not take thought for supply. We do not demonstrate supply. But wherever there seems to be an absence of it, in some form, we may sit down and open our consciousness to the Christ presence for its revelation of supply, as did the Hebrew prophet when he asked the Father to open his servant's eyes that he might see. When the servant's eyes were open, he beheld the supply all around him. And so it is with us. In truth, there is no lack, no limitation. In reality, there is no more a lack of dollars in a room than there is a lack of air. Supply is here in its infinity and in its abundance. We may, however, find it necessary to pray that the Father will open our eyes, because we do not always see. Then the Father, the Christ, this gentle presence, this influence, will open our eyes, and we shall see that the whole room is full of dollar bills, or millions of dollar bills, whatever is the need. Open your consciousness to this truth, this inflow of Christ. Let the Christ show you the dollars, or whatever it is you may need. Up to a certain point, we do use thought. Using thought, however, might be likened to a stepladder or bridge which carries us to the place where we no longer need that aid. Thought carries us to that point where we open our consciousness and then let everything flow out from that consciousness. When we open our consciousness to truth, remember, the same truth that is being revealed to us is also being revealed to all those who have their consciousness open. That makes of us a united group throughout the world, a united group of those who are seeking nothing for themselves, but who are seeking only enlightenment for the world. The peace that I give you is not the peace that the world gives. It is not the kind of peace that any organization established for the purpose of working toward a peaceful world can give. The peace that I give can come only when you open your consciousness, not for something for yourself, but for light for the world, for your patient, for your student, for your nation, that the glory of God may shine undimmed. That is the real purpose of the Christ. It is not to glorify you or me with anything of a material nature. The purpose of the Christ is not to show forth an infinity of health and wealth. It is to reveal the glory of God. Let me be glorified with God's glory. Do not give me health so that I can show how strong and well I am. Do not give me abundant supply just so that I can say, see what my understanding has done for me. No, give me health. Give me wealth, not for me, or for my glory, or for my understanding, but only as an evidence to the world of what the infinite glory of God is when I open my consciousness to it. Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now that should tell you that you were standing somewhere before the world was, and you had the glory of God. It is a miracle and a mystery, but this golden thread or silver thread actually does exist. It is in reality, of course, not gold or silver. It's neither tangible nor real to the human sense of substance. It is as invisible and as intangible to our physical senses as spirit itself. Yet it binds us together in an indissoluble union, so that whenever a seer, a sage, a prophet, or any individual gains some glimpse of the truth, that glimpse of truth automatically makes itself available and travels from one to another as fast as the speed of light, or even faster. Each one on that thread receives the same light and the same intuition, the same guidance, and the same direction. There are no new truths. Please believe me, in my entire experience I have never found a truth that I have not seen stated in ancient scripture. I have never known a truth that cannot be found in ancient philosophy. I have not come across anything that is new in any of the metaphysical teachings. Everything that is always has been, and everything that is now always will be. It is always available, but it touches consciousness. It comes into consciousness at some particular time, and then it spreads. It is now spreading throughout the world. Those who are unable to grasp it with the inner fiber of their consciousness, well, they won't understand it. It is not sensible to the human mind, but nothing spiritual ever is. If that which is spiritual and true were sensible to the human mind, every sensible person would have an understanding of spiritual truth. But we know that this is not the case, perhaps because the wisdom of the spiritual world is foolishness to men. Spiritual truth is found only in the consciousness of those who have risen above common sense or mere human intelligence. How many Hebrews saw the risen Christ after the crucifixion? Wasn't there something like 500 people that saw him? If all those in the Holy Land had seen him, then Judaism as a whole would have been supplanted by Christianity, because having seen such evidence, they could not have denied him. they would have had to accept him. But very few of the Hebrews saw the resurrected or ascended Christ. Only those saw who had already risen above human sense, above human intelligence. Only those few Hebrews who had already achieved a measure of Christ consciousness, who were in tune with the infinite invisible, who were part of this universal silver cord, only they saw, and they formed the nucleus of what is now Christianity. And so it is today. The inspired revelation of spiritual truth is so practical that in 75 years, thousands, hundreds of thousands, have experienced healings of the body and of the mind and of the soul. They have experienced physical, mental, and moral regeneration. Would you not think, with the Christ visible in the world today, that the whole world would be followers of the Christ? But there are very few who follow the Christ, who have learned to lean on the infinite invisible and to trust it. The Christ is not only resurrected, the Christ is risen. It is risen above every sense of limitation, but the Christ must be realized. The Christ cannot merely be preached. The Christ must be realized. When it touches your consciousness and mine, it makes us one with every individual in heaven, on earth, or beneath the earth. It makes us one with all life. From that moment, we are forever receiving from the infinite invisible. You would be surprised to know that not only does it come from human teachers who speak the word to you, but it comes from invisible teachers, teachers hidden within your own consciousness. There is at this moment within your own consciousness the teacher, the revelator. Because since your consciousness is infinite, nothing can exist outside of your consciousness. Therefore, opening your consciousness to the infinite revelator, to the infinite teacher, the infinite healer, you find yourself one with it. You find yourself one with this universal principle, and you find it operative and operating in your experience. Now, no one can influence the Christ. No one can ask anything of the Christ. No one can decide what he would like to do or be, or what part he would like to play in the world. It is the Christ itself that determines that for us. All we can do is to open our consciousness to its inflow, and then let it have its way with us. It will make some of us practitioners, some of us teachers, some of us lecturers, and some of us writers. Others it will not take into the depth of the spiritual work, but it may so enlighten us in the ways of the world that we may play a more constructive part in human affairs. Many great men and women have been inspired by the Christ. George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, they were. Throughout history, there have been those who have been inspired by the Christ and led to the particular role they were to play in world events. Joan of Arc is an example of a simple young girl who, under divine inspiration, played a significant part in one phase of human history. She could not have chosen that particular part. No one can ever choose to be a Joan of Arc, a Benjamin Franklin, an Abraham Lincoln, a George Fox, or whoever it may be who acts under divine guidance or divine inspiration in this, the human world. Because you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. It is always the Christ that touches consciousness and forces itself through into recognition. The human being never seeks the Christ. The Christ has already touched your consciousness and mine, in some degree, and only the depth of the density of humanness prevents it from coming into full and complete manifestation. But it has touched us. It has already manifested in us and to us and through us, and it has carried us through every step we have taken to bring us to our present state of development. The same Christ that has brought us to this point will take us further. All that is expected of us is that we be receptive and responsive to it, that we recognize it openly and consciously. Recognize the presence of Christ, and you may be assured that in ever greater degree it will take hold of you. It will reveal and unfold itself more and more in your experience, leading you to whatever place there is for you to occupy in the spiritual plan. As spiritual identity, we are a part of God's plan. We are a part of a divine universal principle, which is the creative principle of the spiritual universe, the governing principle, and it is always in perfect operation. In the spiritual universe, there is no sin, no disease, no discord, no war. All there is perfect harmony, peace, and love. This same state of peace can and should be enjoyed by everyone on earth. There is no monopoly on it. No one person or group of people invented or created it, but it descends upon those who, in some way or another, open their consciousness to it. Now, you don't have to know a lot of deep truths. You really don't, in order to open your consciousness. All you need is to open your receptivity. You can do that with just a... Please, Father, you flow. You can do that with just, oh God. You can do it with, I am. I and my Father are one. Wherever we are, on the earth, in the sky, or beneath the ground, we are one and are of one consciousness. We have only to think of each other, and instantly, whatever truth is manifesting in one immediately becomes available to all those who contact it and tune into it. Thus we shall carry each other into eternity. Why? It will not be through any human power, but because of the Christ and the opening of our consciousness to the Christ, which races along this invisible spiritual thread, making us all of the household of faith. And so it is. It is not that we would not bless all the world, the same as we would bless each other, that is, bless those of us who are of the household of faith. It is only that many of the people of the world are not willing to open their consciousness at this present moment, to feel that invisible thread which binds us all together, making us one in Christ Jesus. All right, so that was chapter 14, and you're lucky that you have it, because Christ consciousness, the reason why you have it is because I came home today on a Thursday to make this talk, because over the next 2 days we're supposed to get ice sleet, snow, more ice, more snow, and then it'll warm up a little. But in that time, it's going to be impossible to get home. The roads are just not all... If you live in a hollow, or you live in a road that comes back from the main highway, you're not going to get much in the way of the grounds crew moving the snow and salting the road. They'll do that out on the highway, but it is slippery and sliding here because it's a mountain, and it's tough to get out to the highway. So I'm just going to hide back in the woods. We've stocked in the food. We have entertainment. We have a power backup. And so I'm going to stay warm and safe. And again, I thank all of you for this talk today. I did not know if it would be done, but now it is. So I'm going to check it, and I'm going to upload it, and then I'll make the announcement Sunday that it's there. But for those of you who are smart and you check early, well, you'll find it. Thank you. God bless you. And I love you. Amen.